Hello and welcome to the Stray Popcorn Podcast. My name is Brock Vincent Sharp.
I'm Al Nichols, and apparently we got some Kevin Smith news this week, right?
Yeah, it looks like AMC is in the Kevin Smith business for sure.
Yeah, they've been doing Comic Book Men for the last 3 years now.
Which is an adaptation of the awesome podcast Tell 'Em Steve Dave, mm-hmm. and I Sell Comics.
Yeah, it's not so much like those podcasts now. But as you were saying, like before we started recording, it definitely was like the origin point, the leaping off point that they were kind of going to go in that direction. And then they ended up going in more of a, you know, kind of like a reality direction, except just a lot better.
Which I think I Sell Comics. Mm-hmm. I think Comic Book Men is actually one of the most underrated shows on AMC right now. Like it's always pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And they provide a pretty good balance of geekiness and also just selling stuff for the Pawn Stars fans out there or whatever.
Right. But you know
and
what?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, they do have the guy that comes in on the show. His name is Robert Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool guy. Knows a lot about movie memorabilia and just geek memorabilia in general. Looks like he's going to get his own spinoff with this deal that Kevin Smith's working up.
I know. And I'm actually pretty excited to see that because you know, I mean, I think they're definitely getting into like the reality TV programming, but you know, at least they're doing it in a way that I can actually kind of get behind. It's actually people
right.
who know something, you know, and who have reputations based off of, you know, I don't know. To me, it just seems a lot more interesting than what they usually offer on a variety of different, you know, programs and a variety of other channels. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a little bit of intelligence behind the reality where other channels are just like, you two are sisters getting a mud pit and fighting bikinis.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of the general thing. But and it also looks like our mutual favorite podcast, Hollywood Babylon, is getting an adaptation for AMC.
I know. I think they're talking about doing, like, a nightly talk show. So,
which would be awesome.
Yeah, which is like, you think about all the different talk shows that are currently out there right now, it's like, so this will be number 50.
Yeah, but the thing about Hollywood Babylon is they have like an original sense of kind of like, I guess Kevin Smith said at one point, the Entertainment Tonight
mm-hmm.
concept. It's more of a comedy-based show than it is just a new show.
Right.
You know, so.
But
I mean, I could be totally wrong. I don't see them doing, like, celebrity guests for some reason.
They may, but it would be a lot different than I think you would get, you know, over at, you know, The Tonight Show or something like that. And actually, I will say this. For all of the entertainment programming that happens at, you know, around midnight now, I got to say, they got some great lineups. There's a lot of really good people out there. And so I'm glad there's kind of shows doing their own thing. You know, like everyone's kind of fallen into their own momentum. But with this particular show, it'll be a lot more amusing to me because I actually do attend Hollywood Babylon here in Hollywood, you know, on a regular basis, you know, whenever I can. And it's a great show, actually, to go see. And there is a different experience than just listening to the podcast.
Right.
So while I'm pretty certain they're not going to carry on over all of their bits and all the things that they do over there, there's still a live element that I think they'll end up bringing to television, which will be really cool for people to see. Unfortunately, you still won't be able to see all of his fellatio kind of microphone stunts that he does live on stage. You're probably not going to see that on AMC, but... You know, I mean, hey, if you want some daring, awesome television, they would. But anyway.
Yeah, I keep wondering, like, when we're gonna get, if this goes well for them, if they're gonna end up doing like a View Askew type TV show for AMC. Because mm-hmm. I know at one point he was talking about doing Hit Somebody, which is his story of the origin of hockey.
Yeah.
But I think it would actually be cool to see original TV series completely written by Kevin Smith. That's a comedy.
You know what? I can tell you exactly what you're gonna end up seeing in maybe a couple years' time. Clerks: The Next Generation.
Probably.
You know what's going to happen eventually. I mean, he's like, oh, I'm making a third film. And that's been put on the back burner because of whatever they're still working out with Harvey Weinstein and the Weinstein Company. You know, because, yeah, that is something that they're actually working on and trying to get done. But I see it more as a television show, you know, like going back to like a concept of just like a weekly program where, I mean, they did it with the cartoon version, which was actually really good. I'd even love to see like a resurgence of that. That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that show was so wacky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I think it was hard for a lot of people to digest. But I think with the Adult Swim becoming more and more popular, they could probably get away with it more than they could at the time that they put it out.
Well, the time they put it out, too, they put it on freaking ABC on Sunday nights. You know,
right.
And that's like
just weird.
Worst network ever. But that's their option at the time, you know. So who knows? I mean, I'm sure we'll see some pretty cool stuff. That'd be great. I would love to see actually, can't remember exactly the character's name right now, but the Christian kid from Clerks 2.
Right.
Yeah, I would love to see that like character have his own show. It'd just be funny to watch on a weekly basis for me. You know, hear more about, what was it, the Pussy Troll?
Pussy Troll, yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. That whole thing, man. I've actually met kids like that. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah. But, yeah, that would be really an interesting thing. But, yeah, as you said, they're definitely getting into the Kevin Smith business. And he's starting to kind of pop up everywhere, too, just like the Nerdist is. Because he's still doing his spoiler show, which I guess got picked up in Canada and I just started watching a few episodes here on Hulu. He's been showing up everywhere. So good for him. Really good for him.
Welcome to the Stray Popcorn Nightly News Program.
So we got some new photos from the show Gotham this week.
Yeah. Have you actually had a chance to look at all of them?
I have, and I'm actually really excited, and mm-hmm. I think this is going to be the anti-Shield. I think there's really going to be some development in this show that's going to be really cool.
Well, I mean, it's around the character of Jim Gordon, you know, who is an upright, you know, kind of citizen and a cop, and, you know, he's the good cop and amongst a bunch of dirty ones. So it's definitely going to be like, you know, not going for, who knows, maybe they'll surprise us. I hope they don't. I really kind of like the fact that Jim Gordon is an honest and an integrious, you know, a person of integrity. You know, I like that concept and that character, but him fighting corruption and him kind of dealing with these major villains eventually, you know, who are kind of starting off right now. Like, did you see the photos of the actor that they cast for Penguin?
Yes, and he looks very Penguin-like.
Yeah, but not like a huge fat guy, not like a guy with like black drool coming down his face, you know, within Batman Returns. It just a normal-looking guy, but very Penguin-esque, and it looks like a good casting choice. So, I mean, I was a little bit concerned when I heard that Jada Pinkett was going to be playing like some character. What is her name? Like Fishy something or whatever, and I'm like, oh god, the pun. Because, yeah, it was like Fishy something, like the big person in town before Oswald Cobblepot rises to power.
Okay. Her whole thing on the show, like, she doesn't even have to be scary. She just has to play her god-awful band. Like, just play that shit on loop. It'll be like what we did to Al-Qaeda, people that we hid in prisoner of war. They played Slayer and stuff like that to get them to break. So just play Jada Pinkett Smith's band for a little bit and people will be like, fuck that bitch, she crazy. You know?
Oh, God. But you know what? I'm really looking forward to the show. I know they cast a young Bruce Wayne, the kid that was on that show Touch that got canceled last year. He's going to be playing a young Bruce Wayne. I guess he's actually going to be a regular part of the show, too.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how that's going to work. That should be pretty interesting.
I wonder if they were inspired at all by the Kevin Smith conversation. Did you actually hear that Fat Man on Batman? This is another podcast. We're a podcast talking about another podcast. But he did an episode of Fat Man on Batman where he talked about the concept of an idea of doing like a young Bruce Wayne in boarding school and kind of setting it outside of Gotham, like maybe Bloodhaven. And he still had Alfred around. And he's basically like in school. And the reason he went to this boarding school because there was like a PE teacher or a gym coach there who actually had combat experience. And then they were talking about how that could possibly be like the Black Cat, you know, or not the Black Cat. What was the there was a DC superhero who looked like a cat, you know, maybe it is Black Cat.
I'm not sure. I think I was missed out on that one.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a great episode where they kind of talk about like doing a show like this, and then Gotham comes around and everyone's like, okay, who really wants to watch a show about, you know, Jim Gordon, which I disagreed with. I'm like, it could actually be pretty good, you know. And then they started incorporating all these other elements and there seems to be kind of like a similar vibe. So I'm wondering if they felt a little bit inspired, you know, maybe someone heard that podcast and incorporated some of those elements into this program.
Yeah, I'm wondering also like how this continuity of this show is going to affect Batman versus Superman.
No, probably not. I don't think it'll have any impact on it.
I wonder if it's in the like same universe is what I'm wondering. Like if like this continuation of this Bruce Wayne is actually what Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne will be.
Well, it would be an interesting concept. I would love it for it to be that. Marvel's definitely on board with doing that, you know. Unfortunately, their show that's kind of running on air right now has been disappointing, even though it's getting a little bit better. But anyway, DC, like I would really love to hear like not only that Gotham is a part of the continuity with the films, but that especially Arrow. I'm a big, big fan of Arrow. They've done an excellent job on that show. If that show is any indicator about how Gotham is going to be, it's going to be really, really good. And it looks like it's actually kind of set in the past as well. Like it's not just modern day. Because I was looking at some of the costumes and they kind of felt like 70s and 80s inspired. So we'll see, I guess, on that. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I can't wait. And I would definitely like to find out that these are all part of one continuity. And they just kind of lead into like the films and these other characters that they're developing. It'd be smart on their part, especially since Batman and Superman is just kind of like, hey, here's Batman, you know?
Hell, it's got to be better than Birds of Prey.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see that?
Actually, tonight, at the time we're recording this, there actually is an episode of Arrow. It's called Birds of Prey because Huntress and Black Canary will be on it. So I was like, oh, God, like, how many, like, people did they have to, like, talk out of, I don't know. Now I don't even know where I was going with that statement, but I'm sure like someone was like, no, 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 we're staying far away from that name. There was a horrible, horrible television show by that name. It went 13 episodes. How did this happen?
There's some big fans of that show. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I'll give them credit. There was one really good casting choice on that, and it was I don't know her name, but you know, the woman who was playing Barbara Gordon. I thought she was actually a really good casting choice. It was even an episode where they actually put her in a Batgirl costume. And I'm like, I totally see it. Like, it was a flashback. But I'm like, okay, that's good. Can we have this show instead of what they're offering us? So, yeah. Oh, God. We'll have to talk about that show sometime.
Birds of Prey.
Oh, God. The beginnings were always awful. Like the, hello, I'm Alfred Pennyworth. And Master Bruce has gone off somewhere because he just disappeared. Oh god.
Who knows? He could be getting butt fucked by the Joker somewhere.
You know, it kind of reminded me of like the beginning of America's Greatest Hero. Believe it or not, I left Gotham City and I don't know where I've gone.
Finally on a better cat. I don't
Oh god. But anyway, right. Gotham looks like it's shaping up to be a pretty good show. Well, who's the lead actor again playing Gordon?
It is Ben McKenzie from The OC and a short-lived awesome show called Southland.
Well, he's still playing a cop, and he got promoted to a detective now, and I'm like, good. It looks like a really good fit, and I'm excited to see what they do. I know they actually just recently casted Alfred, too, for that show, and he's the actor who was playing Inspector Lestrade on the Elementary series. So I was like, wow, that's really good casting as well. I totally see that because I've been watching Elementary. So, yeah, I'm happy with it. I think it's going to be an awesome show. Can't wait to see it this fall.
Yeah, it's going to, I can't wait, man. I really can. I'm a huge Batman fan, so I'm game for this.
So Ant-Man updates, you want to go ahead and fill us in?
Yeah, I mean, basically there's been some casting additions. Basically, the Michael Douglas has joined the cast, and now they're talking about, just totally lost my train of thought.
No worries.
The guy that was the running senator or congressman that was going to run for governor in the first season of House of Cards.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I should probably know that.
I don't even remember his character's name. I do remember who you're talking about, though.
Yeah, he's joining the cast. Nobody really knows who he's going to be playing. Okay. But it seems like this casting is like revving up for this movie. So it's really cool to see them actually doing this because it's just, you know, I won't repeat myself like I have. But it's just still crazy to me that all these movies are getting made.
Isn't it amazing? It really is. Like, especially Ant-Man. You know, like, honestly, I could see Iron Man and Captain America being made years ago. They had been made in the past. Well, Captain America was in a really, really terrible made-for-TV movie. But, I mean, at least it was believable, like, those characters would ever see the light of screen. Ant-Man, though? I was like, okay, I understand Marvel doesn't look at their characters as A team, B team, you know, or C level characters or whatever. I mean, Ant-Man, I put back way on that list. You're like, that would be the last one. I would expect like the Vision, who apparently is going to be in Avengers. I would have expected him to get a movie before Ant-Man. So.
Oh yeah. And, the guy that's up for the role in Ant-Man is Corey Stoll.
For the lead role?
He's the one that was on House of Cards. I guess he's going to play like an additional role, but I just really like him as an actor. And also,
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're talking about the additional character outside of Paul Rudd. I'm like, no. Paul Rudd's going to be Ant-Man.
Yeah. And then there's Michael Pena, Evangeline Lilly, and Patrick Wilson are all part of the cast. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, I think pretty smart what they decided to do because the Hank Pym storyline, you know, and basically Michael Douglas, I think, is going to be playing Hank Pym. Mm-hmm. And then Paul Rudd plays the second Ant-Man after him.
Right.
Which is brilliant because Hank Pym is an asshole and a wife beater. So you don't want that character to necessarily, you know, be your main hero in that story. You want him to kind of be like this was Ant-Man in this universe. People have kind of forgotten about him, you know, or whatever origin they go with. And then you got the more upright hero in Paul Rudd's character. So.
Yeah, I just really hope that they're able to pull it off. But judging by the test footage that they've done, it looks great.
Yeah, it really does. I was really impressed by that. So, that's pretty much what with Ant-Man. But there is other stuff happening. We saw another trailer this week for X-Men Days of Future Past. Did you get a moment to check that out?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I'll kind of talk it a little bit here and then I'll let you watch it later. But this trailer is off the freaking chain. It really is. It really is a lot more insightful to the premise of the movie and everything like that, which we already kind of know what it's about, you know? Like, you know, the X-Men of old, or not of old, but the X-Men of the future, they end up sending back Wolverine into the past, because it's an X-Men movie with Bryan Singer. Of course, that has to be kind of centered around, you know, Wolverine. So they send him back to alert the future about an imminent threat. And there's talking about, like, you know, many of our friends and colleagues and all of that have been killed. And it's a very dark future. You know, you see the X-Men of the future, basically, they're going extinct. just as it was in the comics. And then it goes back to the past. It shows a lot of different clips. It shows the animosity between Xavier and Magneto. And it's really interesting. So I'm thinking that it's going to be an awesome film, which I know you kind of wanted it to suck because you would like the X-Men characters to go back into the Marvel Studios hands.
Yeah, I think I would just consider the fate that that's not going to happen anytime soon. So.
Sorry, I don't think so. But, yeah. And then, of course, you know, so it's a really good trailer. I think it's going to be a really good movie. So that's, I guess that's all I can really say about it. But maybe we'll play a little clip here on the podcast. So I'll go ahead and do that now.
So many battles waged over the years. And yet, none of them like this. Are we destined to destroy each other? Or can we change who we are and unite? Is the future truly set? Mutants, we now find ourselves on the edge of extinction. You'll need to go into the past to end this war before it ever begins.
Use your power. Bring the X-Men together.
It's good to take the two of us. Side by side at the time when we couldn't be further apart.
You took the things that mean the most to me.
Maybe you should have fought harder for them.
There is a new enemy out there. Mutants. You'll need a new weapon for this war.
I know what I have to do. It's us or them.
All those years wasted fighting each other, Charles.
I watched a lot of people die. Friends.
Been given a second chance.
Guide us. Lead us.
I don't want your future!
We were supposed to protect them!
You're afraid. I remember.
So, yep, so that's X-Men Days of Future Past. Yeah, I guess it comes out this summer. There are other films, though, coming out even closer, like Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and stuff like that. So we'll talk about that more next week. But have you seen Quicksilver's new costume?
Yes, it's awful. I have never... What did they decide to do? I mean, they've got him like in this horrible sports-like outfit. And he's wearing, like, a mop top on his head. Now, I know this is completely out of context with the cinematography of the film, but it looks awful, man.
Well, anyone who may have been complaining about the Flash's costume from, you know, the new series, all those complaints have now been squelched. Because photos this week, of course, were leaked from the filming of Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, which I think they were in Greece. And there was a lot of shots, including one like back shot of Ultron's like body, you know, or his, I don't know, his mechanical layer or something like that with a stuntman kind of standing in with it. But it is a god awful costume. And I was telling you earlier, it was like, you know, Flash Gordon, you know, just joking around with the Flash. Ah, you know, because it is just
of the universe.
Sorry. Do, 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 do. He's wearing, like, a really tight spandex top in jeans and tennis shoes, you know? So, clearly, it's not, like, a hero costume. Well, I hope it's not the hero costume. I hope it's just, like, hey, this is my casual everyday wear. I just look like a douchebag on a regular basis. The hair is a mess. Like, actually, weren't you saying the hair was, like, the worst part of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just completely... It didn't even look attached to his head. It just looks like someone's Cocker Spaniel fucking died.
Well, remember, and we saw the concept drawings last week, and we were actually praising them for the concept drawings. Like, oh, these are pretty good. And, like, Scarlet Witch's costume, you know, they showed plenty of pictures of that with Elizabeth Olsen. And I'm like, I like it even better, because in the concept drawing was, like, a white dress and, like, a red leather jacket. In the movie, it's a black dress and a red leather jacket. I'm like, cool. I know some people had problems with that, but I'm like... kind of fits with that character, in my opinion, you know, and they're not really Avengers, you know, they're just, in fact, it kind of seems like they're working with, well, there's actually been a few new news coming out about this film. So, like, not the fact that, Ultron is one of the villains in this, but they're also talking about Baron Von Strucker, who is a part of Hydra. So bringing Hydra back into the mix with the next Avengers film, and that maybe... Wanda and Pietro, you know, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, they could possibly be working for them at the beginning and then eventually switch sides once they kind of see something's not right. But even with that thought, who would allow that person to go out into the world wearing that crummy ass costume? It was so horrible. I wouldn't want them representing my organization dressed like that.
Unless, but hey, Marvel is owned by Disney now.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to get the Disney version of Quicksilver. Because, I mean, that's what his outfit looks like.
Gordon, yeah. It's a blue version of Flash Gordon. Even the hair. Even the freaking hair is Flash Gordon. Oh, God. It is so bad.
Yeah. So. Disappointed.
Yeah. Disappointed. All right, so I guess we're done with the main news headlines. You want to introduce the next segment?
So we have a new segment. We have several new segments to introduce tonight. And so we're going to start doing the Gossip of Hollywood under the new title of Not Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Oh, what is this? This is not Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Get him out of here, great!
So this week, we're going to be talking about a little rumor that hit the web today as we're recording this. And that was Bradley Cooper as Indiana Jones.
Which got squashed really fast.
Very quickly.
So you can see who's trending on Facebook. And this was like the top story of the day. Everybody thought that like Indiana Jones is going to go the way of James Bond. And we're going to hand it off to someone else, which was supposed to be Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to start off, like, I kind of got behind a minute there with the Indiana Jones, James Bond thing. Like, I was, like, completely okay with that. If they're going to do it, it's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're have an approach to it, mm-hmm. you know, which, you know, to its, you know, to, you know, another James Bond type thing, Batman's kind of turned into the new James Bond.
Pretty much.
But I was okay with the Indiana Jones thing. I think it might have been actually kind of cool to see Bradley Cooper play that role. But I could also see where it could fail.
I was excited about it. Because I kind of look at, like, a lot of these roles. A character is a character. It's not an actor, you know. An actor can definitely leave an impression, you know, as Harrison Ford definitely did with the character. And, you know, really... But anyway, I just kind of think it's like the roles are going to get passed on. Someone's going to start continuing in them, you know, rather than just rebooting it. Because I didn't really see Bradley Cooper coming on as a reboot. Just a continuation. You know, we saw three different adventures from Indiana Jones' life. And then years later, they would end up doing the Young Indiana Jones Adventures, which was before he donned the fedora and went out into the world and became an archaeologist and went to University of, you know, Chicago or whatever it was. So I don't know. I was kind of thinking like, yeah, I would love to see more adventures. And it happens to be another actor. I kind of like the actor. I think he's a good fit, you know. So, but clearly that's not what's happening. It was just another rumor, and then it was quickly stomped out by, I think, Frank Marshall, the producer of Indiana Jones. But do you think they'll ever go ahead and make another film now, especially after the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls?
Yeah. There's a lot of Indiana Jones money to be had by Disney, mm-hmm. especially with the, you know, taking over Lucasfilm. I think we'll see something. I think there's a good possibility. I mean, I guess it's according to what Han Solo's role in the new Star Wars film will be.
Yeah.
Because that's probably going to take some time. Mm-hmm. So if that doesn't happen, I could possibly see a reboot happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're definitely wanting to make some money off of that name.
Do you think you actually want to see another Indiana Jones film, though, with Harrison Ford at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I love Harrison Ford, but to me, he's kind of become the actor who doesn't really seem like he wants to act. Like, he does films, but it kind of seems like he's really standoffish, and he has this kind of, like, old man attitude now. I don't know how else to describe it. Maybe it's... Yeah, the mumbling, you know, like the disinterest. He would be a nightmare to market the film, even. Like, he goes out there and he's just like, so, Mr. Ford, tell me about what you really enjoy doing this new film.
I'm going to do the movie, and then when the movie's over, I'm going to go out and drink some 40, go cold 45. It's going to be really good.
You know what? I'm starting to realize that the impression with Indiana Jones and the impression of, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman in Mission Impossible 3, very similar.
Yeah.
I'm going to hurt her bad. I would love to see him do that interview, like, yeah, I'm going to hurt you, and... You know, we're just gonna go out and smoke a doobie, and you know, we're gonna have a good time.
And then I'm gonna go outside, and I'm gonna play with myself for $1. If someone give me $1.
Oh Lord. Well, I'm sure we'll see another Indiana Jones, but you know, like I said, after Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Shia LaBeouf was definitely one of the biggest offenses of that film, along with the atrocious story. And there was like a level of believability with the other ones. Even ripping a man's heart out, you know, from his chest was far more believable than like a UFO, you know. But I don't know. I think at this point I want to see more of the character, but I would like it to get kind of back to the magic of Raiders of the Lost Ark, pursuing more kind of like Earth-based, you know, phenomenon and stuff like that.
Yeah, because the the Last Crusade, the Holy Grail was so believable.
But you know, I don't know. It's just like, who knows? Maybe I'm totally wrong about that. Maybe I'm just kind of going with the perception that a lot of people had. Because my thought was, it was a UFO at the end of Crystal Skull, but you know, the other ones, it's not like it was any more believable. You know, just things from different points of origin. But I think with that film overall, it was just so badly made. The acting was really lame. And I don't know, it felt like everyone involved just, it was like, hey guys, look, we're doing another Indiana Jones and we're going to make so much money. You know, I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
I actually liked it. I don't think it's like the most spectacular movie I've ever seen, but I thought it was good. I think people had their expectations way too high.
You know, maybe.
Because, I mean, if you go back and watch the others, I love them, but there are some flaws.
Yeah. But you know what?
That we just overlooked because of nostalgia sake.
The unforgivable sin about that film, though, is when Shia LaBeouf began to swing from vines like Tarzan.
You're not a Shia LaBeouf fan? I love that guy.
Yeah, he's doing lots of wonderful things now today. Oh God. Anyway, yep, so that's what's going on. No new Indiana Jones reboot. That's been completely debunked by people who would actually have the ability to say if it was happening or not. So and then there was, of course, the other piece of news that just came out today, one of the big rumors that hasn't been confirmed or denied yet because they're doing casting, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson is reportedly involved in DC in some way. They're considering him for some role, even though that role has not been made public yet. There is speculation that the role could be for Lobo. How do you feel about that?
I completely disagree with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think that's what he's actually up for. You want to hear my theory?
Sure.
I think he's up for Shazam.
Possibly. Are you thinking Black Adam? Or for Shazam?
for Shazam.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I was thinking Black Adam even because like of a lot of the interpretations that I've seen in the comic books lately and stuff like that. There actually is kind of a strong resemblance there. But it would be cool to actually see him as Shazam, as a Captain Marvel.
Because he described the character as having the power of Superman. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what made me think it was Shazam.
Well, essentially, yeah, Captain Marvel. Well, is it Shazam or Captain Marvel? Am I getting that?
It was Captain Marvel until Marvel sued them.
Ah, and so they just renamed him Shazam.
Okay. And I mean, it may be the Black Adam. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely going down that route of some sort. I mean, I think Lobo is something that's going to have a darker conception. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in all honesty, might sound weird, I think Rob Zombie would really be a good choice to direct that.
Mm, you know, you're probably right. I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not really excited about the proposition even of a Lobo film, you know, because it's like it was a really popular character in the 90s that pretty much everyone forgot about at some point. They were just like, okay. You know, made a handful of appearances on Superman the Animated Series, and then they just stopped caring. So,
well, I think like if they did something like campy and B-movie with mm-hmm. it, like if kind of like the way Robert Rodriguez has been doing some of his stuff, but have Rob Zombie direct mm-hmm. it and make it kind of like a B-movie, like a Carlico film that was never made.
Oh, that could be good.
That would be a really cool way of going about Lobo and keeping it in, you know, canon.
Well, so. Even a way that they could portray it, I guess, would be kind of similar to like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, not the comic approach, but the overall visual style of it, you know, or I don't know. I guess I don't really know enough about the character. But I kind of like your idea better anyway. So, yeah, I mean, but actually it does sound more believable that they would be pursuing like a Shazam property, you know, rather than Lobo, because I think with at least Shazam, I think there's actually a little bit of recognizable, you know, like people would definitely notice that character. So
yeah, I agree.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. There was also other rumors as well that maybe he was going in to play the John Stewart Green Lantern.
Hmm.
Which I mean, maybe that's a possibility. And I would be happy with. Well, I don't know if I'd be happy with him playing a John Stewart Green Lantern, but I wouldn't be completely opposed to it. I would like to see a John Stewart Green Lantern. If they're going to do a Justice League film, that would be the one to go with. Not the, well, they'd have to pull back Ryan Reynolds if they were going to do Green Lantern or go with the Hal Jordan. I never really cared for Hal Jordan. My favorites were the John Stewart character, not connected in any way to John Stewart of The Daily Show. And also, I really like Kyle Rayner, you know, for the short time that he played the character in the 90s, so.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with him playing the Green Lantern. I think that would be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I really can't think of anybody else that could play that role
mm-hmm.
To the superhero level like The Rock would.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, like, names like Common in the past and stuff like that. I think at one point he was attached to it when they were trying to do it. The Justice League film that they tried to make back in 2006 with the Brad Bird, I believe. Well, someone. I don't. Maybe it wasn't Brad Bird. But anyway, yeah, I was like, yeah, I mean, that could even work. But I don't know. I think about, you know, Jon Stewart, maybe a Rock, maybe The Rock would be more kind of appropriate for that role.
Yeah, I agree. And with that, I do have some breaking news, but we'll go into it after our next segment,
mm-hmm.
which is Hollyweird.
Hollyweird.
Which is Hollyweird. What it is it's actually, this is our new segment going over the weird Hollywood news for the week.
Yes. You mentioned this before we started recording, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What's the update about that?
So basically, they rewrote their origin story.
Okay.
To where now Shredder and April O'Neil's father are the reason that the ooze hits the turtles so that they become the Ninja Turtles. It's no more a random, you know, chemical that hits them.
Mm.
It's now got an origin story that involves April O'Neil. Why? Why?
Does this have to do with the movie at all, or?
Yeah, it's for the new film that's coming out with Michael Bay.
And, of course, Megan Fox, which when I heard that they casted her, I'm like, wait, the one who bashed Michael Bay.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. And not only that, like, here's the next thing. Like, tomorrow night we will get the first trailer from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Honestly, I'm usually excited about trailers. I'm not really excited about this one.
I saw some pictures of it today, and the turtles look kind of cool. But April O'Neil, it's just, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Megan Fox as April O'Neil. It just,
and I really cannot stand her, not as an actress. I take that back. I cannot stand her as an individual. I can't put her in the category of actress. More like swimsuit model, I guess. She has just no likability at all. I don't know. I'm just not a fan. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ever since Jennifer's Body, did you ever see that movie?
No, I definitely did not.
Oh, it was so terrible.
I did watch the first 20 minutes of Jonah Hex, though, so...
I did see that. I was scared.
Oh, like I said, I saw the first 20 minutes of Jonah Hex and walked out. Didn't even go ask for my money back. Just was like, nope, got to get out of here. Got to go clean myself.
And also announced this week is John Chu, the man behind such classics as Saw and also The Conjuring, which I thought was a great film, is going to go into production before G.I. Joe 3 to make Jim.
Jim! Oh, God.
So I'm sure a lot of our audience is pretty equated with Jim. You know, it's the crime-fighting, glam rock chick band. And so the weird part is they are crowdsourcing not the money for the film, but the actual idea and plot line for the film.
Okay.
They're asking the fans what they want to see out of the movie.
Wow.
Can you say lawyer up?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I don't get Jim the movie at all. I didn't even get the cartoon. I despise that thing. Anytime I saw it come on television, I was just like, this is the funkiest thing ever. You know, like, it made no sense. The fact that they feel like they need to turn this into a film franchise, and then that's the way that they're pursuing it, I don't think anybody wants anything out of this film. They don't want to see it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but am I? Like, do you want to see this film?
Not at all. I didn't even, like, I saw a couple episodes when I was growing up, and even then I knew it sucked.
Yeah.
I think this is more of like, and I'm not trying to sound sexist, but by saying this is more of a female thing, just as He-Man was a guy thing, you know? Like, nobody is asking for the Jim movie. I don't even think the fans of this movie give a shit. I think this is a potential flop on our hands, unless they do it really great, you know, which I don't really see that happening. I mean, who are you going to be the stand-in band? Metric?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, there's not really a lot of, like, girl-fronted bands that other than Metric that I can
think of.
Well,
I was actually trying to think,
sound like,
I was actually trying to think of the name of the band that was from, you know, Scott Pilgrim. I'm like, actually, yeah, that was Metric.
So, I don't know. I don't think anybody's looking for this. I don't even know why they're making it. I think it's just, I don't know. It's more money.
Well, you know, at this point, I think a lot of people are, like, going into the barrel looking for 80s franchises to revive and bring back. That's why we've seen Smurf movies, you know. That's why, you know, there's a lot of Muppet films being made again. You know, they just keep going back to the 80s, you know, because there really wasn't anything in the 70s.
Hold on. I got to correct myself. Sure. I'm sorry. It's not James Wan. It's John Chu, which probably got me in another pile of shit because they're both Asian, and that interprets that I think they look alike. But I really didn't. I just got it mixed up with another story.
I thought you said John Chu, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think I got him confused with James Wan. No offense to our Asian audience. I've had some stuff go on today, so my mind's kind of all over the place. But this guy did. This might make a little bit more fucking sense. He did G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yep.
But before that, he did Justin Bieber, Never Say Neighbor, and both of the Step Up movies, which is fucking amazing because there's nothing better than high gloss dance entertainment.
You know what?
Nothing gets me worked up more
than
actually,
this film
guys.
Is so bad it might actually be good.
Maybe.
You know, how? Maybe. I mean, at some point, it's like digging through the earth. At some point, you're going to eventually come out on the other side.
I mean, I would rather see a Step Up Jim in the Holograms. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I want, like, water everywhere. I want, like, some crazy battle in the middle of, like, an alleyway, mm-hmm. West Side Story style. Yeah. And then maybe, like, you know, some Tangerine Dream.
Who knows? Maybe style it like Blade Runner. I'd be game.
Blade Runner.
All the holograms are replicants.
Dude, if they made Jim and the Holograms like Blade Runner, even the gay community would want to put that flame out. You know what I'm saying? That is terrible.
Oh, God. But it would be, again, some things just come back from being so bad that they become good again. So, I don't know. It'd be just one of those classic properties that may break $1 billion, not because of how great it is, but because of just how atrocious it is. And people just can't get enough of it.
And it will be, sir. It will
That's
be.
A guarantee. No matter what they do, they're not going to turn this into a viable project. It's just going to be more drivel, you know, drug up from the 80s that should have stayed exactly where it was. Well, I think we have covered all of the bases here on this episode of the podcast. So, with that all said, guys, please check out our Facebook and Twitter page, Stray Popcorn, StrayPopCorn. And also, we are on Stitcher now, at Stray Popcorn. Just do a search for us there, and you will find us.
Well, I hope everybody had a good time. Keep popping! Everyone comes to play. Black flies on the